Most studies suggest that children are typically first exposed to online pornography around age 12, and much of this pornography promotes degrading, anti-woman, and violent behaviors. The internet is still the Wild West, where children can access pornography at will. Hi, I'm Richard Nelson, founder and executive director of the Commonwealth Policy Center, and you are tuned into The Commonwealth Matters. There's a strong push in the state legislature to restrict minors from accessing online pornography. Yet opponents say that this is a free speech issue, and that if you begin restricting this from children, the next thing is that you're going to restrict it from adults. Joining us to talk further is State Senator Jay Williams, who's working on legislation to require age verification to keep kids from online pornography. Senator Williams, welcome to the program.
Great to be here, Richard.
Hey, we're going to talk about some of the big picture issues of pornography on the internet and how easy it is for kids to access it. And I want to start out with a study I came across just the other day. A professor at University, Gail Dines, wrote a scholarly article called Growing Up with Porn, The Developmental and Societal Impacts of Pornography on Children. Now, Jay, she wrote this in 2017. She looks at pornography and how kids access it and what it does to them from an academic perspective. Now, keep in mind, that was 7 years ago. But listen to what she said. Professor Dines said that we are in the midst of a massive social experiment that's having a seismic impact on the sexual templates, behaviors, emotional well-being, and attitudes of youth. Never before have we brought up a generation of boys who are a click away from viewing free, hardcore, mainstream pornography, or girls who are growing up in this pornified culture. She again looks at the effect that pornography is having on kids. Now, Jay, I have the benefit here at CPC of having some younger people, younger generation, younger than you and I, who are working here. I had our newest intern was in my office just the other day. He's 18 years old, and we were talking about what's going on with online pornography. And he said, Richard, this is destroying my generation. And he talked about how he's got peers who are addicted to it and how it's affected their interaction, not just with males, but with females. We do know that it has an impact. We do know academically, but we also know in a personal way that this is negatively impacting our young people. And yet nobody seems to be talking about it. Nobody has acknowledged that there are certain things that you keep away from kids, like hardcore pornography. I want to ask you, what prompted you to take the lead this session to begin with age verification for kids accessing online pornography?
Well, I think there's a growing body of study showing that sexual content, this pornography, rewires our kids' brains. Okay, when they start looking at these patterns, when they start looking at these really disgusting, horrible things that they can access, and they do that so it's in front of them, their brains, in terms of the way they think about their relationship with the other sex, the way they think about how they relate to women, what they're going to do growing up, it changes the way they think, and it actually damages them. With the rise in suicide rates, with the negative body images that we see, that it's rewiring their brains to make them think and get into a really serious health condition. That
Jay, consider some of these statistics from Common Sense Media. 2022, they found that 15% of minors said that they, or of kids, said that they first saw online porn at age 10 or younger. 15%. 44% have seen pornography intentionally. 58% have seen it accidentally. 71% who said that they intentionally watched pornography reported viewing it in the last week, which may indicate an addiction. And then 45% of kids said that they felt that online pornography gave helpful information about sex. I would just add to that last statistic that the last place you want your kids to be learning about sex is through online porn sites. Those statistics are alarming. They're sobering. I think most of us can agree that kids under age 10, really minors, should not have easy access to pornography. When you and I were younger, we didn't have the internet. In order for kids to access it, they had to get printed material, Playboy and Penthouse, and there was a gatekeeper. Usually it was in some of the gas stations that sold it, and there was a person at that cash register stand, and if you're a minor, you weren't going to get it. But today, it's just a click away. And it's not like Playboy, Jay. It's violent, degrading, harmful material. It depicts women as objects. It actually, there's violence depicted in much of the pornography, stuff that I would argue that adults shouldn't see, but we're talking about minors. It's a whole different world today, isn't it?
Yeah. And actually, there's obscene material that couldn't have been printed in Playboy back then. I mean, this is pure obscenity. But what I like to, where we are as a society, back then we all lived in the real world. Today we have the virtual world that a lot of us live in. And in the real world, we have parents that protected us to the greatest extent they could. But at some point, we ride our bicycles downtown. At some point, we drive our cars downtown. And the other thing we have when we drive down the street, we look at these doors, we look at these alleyways. But if we try to go into a bar, if we try to go into a location where there's entertainment that is not sexually, that is sexual and is not suitable for a minor, there's somebody at that door that is going to card that minor, provide age verification, and turn them away. When we try to buy alcohol, even at the grocery store, we have somebody that's trained in age verification to assist the parents, because a parent can't be everywhere. Same thing in the virtual world. If we have a virtual street, there's a lot of these websites. You go down the virtual street and there's all these doors. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't know exactly what's behind the door because they can't show you. They shouldn't be able to show you. But unlike the main street where you can't see what's going behind the door, but they may get some situation, in the virtual world, you can actually see as you're walking down the street what's behind the door. And then there's no one right now that actually verifies you can walk through the door and it opens up a whole nother world like there is in the real world. But we've arrived at the place where 30 years ago, the virtual world, the internet, was a very different place than it is. And 20 years ago, age verification was not very accurate. It was extremely costly. But we now have arrived at the place in the virtual world where there's an Age Verification Providers Association. And that has over 30 members worldwide. There's a set of standards for age verification that is commercially reasonable. It's not perfect, but it's relatively accurate. And it costs something, but it's commercially reasonable cost because we're talking about sites that are monetizing these visits.
Jay, that's a really good distinction, a really important point about the virtual world that's available to kids who are online. Mm-hmm. In the real world today, we do restrict certain things from children, alcohol, tobacco, vaping products. You got to be 21 if you're going to use those products. Also, we keep kids from printed pornography. Mm-hmm. They're still restricted from that. They can't be under 18. And then also strip clubs. It is against the law today for kids to access strip clubs. They'll ask for your ID. So that's the real world. And these are real laws that apply to kids today. But as far as the virtual world of the internet, kids can get anywhere, can't they?
Yes. And that's the difference between the internet of 20 to 30 years ago and the internet of today. So we have a lot of federal laws on privacy. And really what we're saying is we don't want to force an adult to reveal their identity because it's protected speech, but we do want to protect the children. 20 or 30 years ago, we couldn't do that. Today, with the age verification, we can have these providers that don't know what the identity of the individual is. They know the age, okay, and provide that to the site so you can maintain your anonymity and the children can be blocked from accessing this.
So there's two things that come to mind. One is, how burdensome is this? And you're getting to, you're talking about that, but they're going to argue, well, this is too onerous. It's too burdensome. We shouldn't be forced to do this. That's the first argument. And then the second is free speech. This is a free speech issue. And if you begin restricting or requiring age verification here, where's the next thing that you're going to do? So speak about the onerous. Is this too onerous? Is this too burdensome?
Well, no, we're not actually restricting the speech. We're just providing age verification. That is what we're requiring for certain types of speech. But the main thing is, the age verification is commercially reasonable today, I think. And what we're starting a process to go through the court to find, for the compelling interest of protecting children that we can provide age verification. It's not burdensome in the internet, in the virtual world of today, like it was perhaps 20 or 30 years ago. And the courts have sort of acknowledged that we have moved on beyond where they were in the decisions. So I think we're ripe to relook at this from the federal level of what is in the internet world today burdensome. Is it any more burdensome to do age verification in the virtual world than it is to do it in the real world today? And I would contend we're at the point where age verification in the real world and in the virtual world is not that burdensome. And I think that's what the courts will find in the near future as they go down here. We're just waiting to get up to the Supreme Court level. The you sort of see this in the Texas review that we did, where so there's 9 states that have passed an age verification law. This is not the social media law. Okay. Social media laws that are really dealing with material that may be harmful to minors, but is not an explicit sexual conduct, okay? That has been stayed everywhere. But what we're dealing with is pornography and children's access to material that is harmful to them and age verification. In Texas, the district court applied strict scrutiny to that review and found it, the Texas law and these other 9 states, unconstitutional. However, the circuit court said, no, we're just going to apply rational review of this thing, or reasonable review, because the technology has moved. There's a number of reasons, but one of the reasons is that age verification can be done with anonymity and at a commercially reasonable price today. So that's what we're requiring.
So, Jay, you mentioned that there are 9 states that require age verification in order to access online pornography. Those states are North Carolina, Montana, Texas, Virginia, Louisiana, Arkansas, Utah, Mississippi, and Indiana. Kentucky could become the 10th state.
Yes, we could become the 10th. We have an amendment now on House Bill 278. Floor Amendment 2 would make us a 10th state if it passes here in the next week. There are about another 15 or 20 states that are looking at this as well. They have legislation in process. So this is not something that is brand new. This is something that all the states are looking. One of the things that we're trying to do is to address unintended consequences, though. Everybody is celebrating the fact that Pornhub has pulled out of these 9 states, okay, because of this review. But as we know, when you have something like this, when they're out, that doesn't mean the content is gone. The content is going elsewhere. There's other websites with this content.
You had shared, so along these lines, you'd shared something interesting with me earlier about a previous court ruling that had to do with what is the percentage of the content that's pornographic. If it's below that threshold, then it's okay. If not, it's like a third of the content, if it's considered non-pornographic, if it's less than a third, then you couldn't have age verification. Yeah. If it's more than that, then you could.
Right.
And that's to your point about Pornhub.
You mentioned Playboy. They had over 2/3 of their magazine was something that was intellectual, quote-unquote, discussion, because 1/3 of it was pornographic. Yeah. And that's how they got around being able to publish that. Mm-hmm. And these websites they're doing the same thing. All these other laws, they have 1/3 of the content can be pornographic. That means a child going down the virtual street can see this. Now, every 1 out of 3 doors that he looks at can be pornographic. And I don't think that's the intent of these websites. But by forcing Pornhub out of these states, that's what's happening.
They're going to move elsewhere. If Pornhub goes out, that content will still be there and available on the internet. They're just going to find other outlets like X or other social media outlets or other websites.
Yes. And so age verification is, I believe, technically at the place where you can walk down Main Street or the virtual street and you can put that content behind a door that the minors cannot get through.
We are going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. Hi, my name is Richard Nelson, founder and executive director of the Commonwealth Policy Center. We're here to shore up the sanctity of human life, religious freedom, natural marriage, and sound fiscal policies. At the Commonwealth Matters, we have conversations with leading thinkers and policymakers to help us think biblically about the great issues of the day. If you appreciate our work, then please consider a donation today. This work is entirely supported by people just like you. Your gifts and tax-deductible contributions help to underwrite this program, and you help to get this important message out all across the Commonwealth. We believe that the Commonwealth of Kentucky is a great place to live, and we want to keep it that way for our families and our children. That's why we're standing for what's right, for what's good, and what's true right here in Kentucky. Thanks in advance for your support, and may God bless you. If you're just joining us, you're tuned in to the Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson here with State Senator Jay Williams, and we're talking about a bill in the Kentucky legislature that would require age verification in order for minors to access online pornography. Jay, you had mentioned House Bill 278. That's a bill sponsored by State Representative Matt Lockett of Nicholasville. And a couple of things that it restricts, first of all, it would ban child sex dolls. Believe it or not, there are these dolls that look like children, toddlers and young children, that are used for sex purposes. The state Senate, you and your colleagues voted to ban these things. Matt Lockett is in the House, and he took this from the House's perspective. His bill would ban those things, but it also enhances penalties for child sex trafficking and also deals with other areas where children are exploited and harmed. And your bill, now we're getting into the weeds here, but your amendment would go on to this, and it would add verification for online porn sites.
Yeah, so what, it's a great base bill that deals with the real world and real things. But so many of our kids are living in the virtual world. This extends those protections from the real world to the virtual world. And quite frankly, they're more likely to initially encounter these things in the virtual world and then get pulled into real world trouble. So we need to make the real world and the virtual world very similar in terms of protecting our children.
Jay, there was a story in Reuters just a couple weeks ago about a video posted in an online porn site called OnlyFans. And I was somewhat ignorant if I heard of this name before, but apparently this is where people can produce their own form. They set up their own web platform there and people can subscribe to it. Videos are made. There's still images, there's videos. But there was a story in Reuters about a woman who was violently raped in 2022, and her rapist actually set up cameras in the room. This woman found that 2 months after she was raped, she learned that the video was online on the OnlyFans website, sold for $15. I want to go to another website, Pornhub, very popular, very lucrative website. It takes in billions of dollars a year. In 2020, a New York Times reporter, Nicholas Christoph exposed Pornhub for monetizing it for child rapes, revenge pornography, spy cam videos of women showering, racist and misogynist content, and footage of women being asphyxiated in plastic bags. There's no other way to describe that but being vile and degrading and just awful. That shouldn't, I don't understand how that could be allowed. They call that snuff porn, by the way, where they actually show women being killed. And now I don't know if that actually it was simulating that. In either case, it's degrading. It's violent. We do not want our kids to have access to this. Now, there are some who say that this is free speech, that this, again, maybe it's okay to verify ages for children. But when I read descriptions like this of what Nick Christoph wrote and the Reuters story, I cannot see how any of this has a place in civil society. If we want men to treat women well and to respect them, if we want our young children to to grow up to be responsible and respectful adults, this kind of material is so degrading and so awful. I just don't see a place for it in civil society.
There isn't. And we're in this strange difference between the real world and the virtual world. Mm-hmm. A lot of these sites operate under federal 230B statute, which exempts them as publishers. So Pornhub says, hey, we're just a publisher online. Now, if you're a publisher in the real world, you'd be liable for what you published and you had to edit. But in the internet world of 30 or 40 years ago, we gave those internet providers immunity from being publishers.
Let me stop you right there. There's something wrong with that. We're seeing where that general blanket immunity is coming back to haunt us.
Yes.
Because Pornhub should be held liable.
Yeah, and so Pornhub, in a recent lawsuit, was denied that 230B protections, if that's what you call them, over this obscenity. But that doesn't mean there's a lot of other sites out there that are relying on that. And so a lot of these content providers want to have it both ways. Some cases, they want to be publishers and edit content. In other cases, they don't want to be publishers and be liable for the content that's on their platform. We're going to have to align the virtual world closer to the real world in a way that makes sense. Age verification, I believe, is the first step in.
Very good. And I think there was a federal district judge in Alabama that sees it that way. Back in December, just a couple months ago, he denied Pornhub Section 230 immunity from a lawsuit whose the accuser said that it's creating a business model that, and I want to quote, this is the plaintiff's charge against Pornhub, that enables Pornhub to profit from sex trafficking ventures involving tens of thousands of children. So I'm not aware of any other challenge to 230 immunity. Maybe this is the first one.
Well, there's some discussions out there. I'm not sure of the other sites that this is happening on. But that is one of the keys that as we develop the internet, as technology advances, we need to relook at that. Age verification, 230 immunity. Those are the things we need to really take a serious consideration of. And I believe we will get a very different court ruling in the next few years than we got 20 or 30 years ago, because we have a very different internet than we have 20 or 30 years ago. One of the exciting things I see that we're working on, we're talking about deepfakes that is coming out, and we're talking about likeness and image. That's the whole thing of likeness and image. Well, that lady, she has a likeness and image. We're protecting the likeness and image of football players and sports stars and of music stars, of all sorts of people. But the average person who's been violated in that way should have a right in her likeness and image. And that will chill a lot of this kind of stuff we're seeing out there, because we can go after them and they can protect. Even if you had willingly done it, there's a right to change your mind, okay? And I think that will happen, and we're going to see more and more likeness and image protection that will protect some of these minors who did things as they were a minor that when they become adults, they regret that their images are out there. So that's the next step.
And that's a whole nother angle of approaching
this,
right? People have a right to their own content, something that got out there. They could tell Pornhub, which, by the way, they're saying once it's out there, we can't get it off of our website. And a likeness and image law that would apply to this could force them, Pornhub and OnlyFans, to pull that content. Jay, I want to move over to another element of harm to children. Now, we're talking about when children access pornography and how it harms their developing brains, it harms their innocence, it's destructive to how they think about the opposite sex and their ability to form relationships. But there's another aspect to this too, and I'm going to go to what an FBI agent recently warned, that social media and online applications have become the primary tool for subjects to identify, groom, and sexually exploit children. That's chilling. Now, this, I know we're talking about social media now. We're not talking about specific porn sites, but many of the children today who are brought into sex trafficking or who are brought into sharing pornography of themselves are groomed. They're found on social media. Listen to what this Houston-based organization called United Against Human Trafficking said. 55% of victims in the U.S. sex trafficking age 7 to 11 are recruited through social media apps and websites. Online sex trafficking is increasingly the norm. So more than half of kids in this country who are brought into sex trafficking are recruited through social media websites. Here's my question to you. Does your bill not go far enough with age verification? Are you doing anything to address social media sites?
This bill does not address the social media sites or the harms there, but it does establish age verification for these sites with sexual content. And I think that is the first step that we need to focus on. These things that are changing over time, that are migrating over time as technology advances. We got to start somewhere. Age verification for sexually explicit content, that to me is key. That is commercially reasonable at this time. It's affordable. And the publishers should not be immune from either having sexual content on there or permitting grooming to go on. And once you have an age verification, I think it will alleviate the publishers of a lot of liability that they're going to get in an increasing way. I mean, when I say publishers, I mean the street, the websites, the social media sites, because even though there's a law that says they're immune from being publishers, they are publishers.
Jay, theoretically, though, could your bill of age verification extend to social media sites that have just filled with all kinds of pornography? You have individual pages, let's say Instagram or Facebook or X. They've got individual subsites, if you will. And let's say it's filled with all kinds of porn that children could access. Could this
this is the virtual street we're going down. And there's lots of virtual doors, okay? And yes, certain minors could not go through those virtual doors, just like in the real world. You go down the street, you can't go through this door without somebody carding you. And that's where I think we're probably heading.
Jay, I commend you for doing this. This is important work. It's an important policy that's going to help protect Kentucky's children. We're just about out of time, but what can be done right now? We're near the end of the General Assembly session. What can be done to get this bill, the age verification bill, which you're attaching an amendment onto House Bill 278, so that's a lot of inside baseball there, but what can be done from the people who are viewing right now?
House Bill 278, communicate to your legislators, say you support House Bill 278 that protects in the real world children from abuse and neglect, and Senate Floor Amendment 2 to House Bill 278, which protects in the virtual world children and providing age verification.
And if you want to contact your legislators, call the legislative message line at 800-372-7181 and ask them to support House Bill 278, that bill that protects children, and then also Senate Floor Amendment Number 2, SFA2. Again, call 800-372-7181. Jay Williams, thank you so much for your good work in the state legislature and for taking the lead on age verification when it comes to accessing online pornography.